Order, and please stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I'm going to ask our CEO, Rick Robinson, to please stand, and also all the board members, if they would please. For those of you in the audience, where is it?
We're hiding.
For all of you in the audience who are not aware of the fact that our CEO, Rick Robinson, is going to be retiring at the end of this year. So it is our pleasure, as members of the board, to thank him for all the services that he's given to us. And at this time, we would like to present to him a Board of Supervisors resolution, of which I'm not going to read because there's far, far too many accomplishments to cover at this time. But it was the pleasure of representing the board and myself to present you, Rick, with this resolution depicting your many successes that you've contributed to Stanislaus County. Now also, we have a custom here at Stanislaus County. It seems when the time comes to retirement, everyone believes that we lose track of time. So as a result, we always give our departing friends a clock so that they can keep their eye on it and remember that time still goes on, that there's still more to life, and enjoy it. So at this time, we'd like to present to Rick Robinson, Chief Executive Officer, in grateful appreciation of your leadership and your service to the citizens of Stanislaus County, 2004-2011 Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. Now at this time, I would like to pass the microphone and let each board member have a short comment. And I'd like to start with our Vice Chairman, Bill O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Rick, congratulations on your retirement. Just want an opportunity to thank you for everything you've done for this county. You brought leadership when we needed it. You brought a transparent government. Very open and honest. One of the great things I think that of your accomplishments is that you took your department heads and you trained them to follow your footsteps. And I think one of the greatest accomplishments is when someone below you comes up and rises and takes your seat. And I think that's a testament to you and the leadership that you have in order to mentor the people below you. And so I think that is a wonderful accomplishment. I want to thank you for mentoring me as well. You know, we come in here as Board of Supervisors, and we need mentoring as well. And I appreciate all the time you spent with me and many conversations that we had, challenging my thinking, challenging your thinking, and I'm just so excited on the job that you've done, and I want to congratulate you on your retirement. And wish you the very best. Congratulations.
Rick, we talked last night a little bit about things, and a couple of points that I made last night. The observations, I've only seen you for a year here, and the observations I had in that year was just what a great leader, what a great organization you have here, you know, from a business standpoint, what you've done, are all the things that a good leader of a business would do, and you have great insight on all these things. And I'm going to repeat everything I said last night, but from a business standpoint, I'm just amazed at how well you have this organization running based on what I've seen and taking into consideration what we've been going through here for the last few years. And from a person standpoint, again, I want to just kind of reiterate what I said last night. I am going to miss the sessions on your couch. You know, I appreciate all you've done for kind of, just as Bill has said, mentoring me for this first year I'm going to miss having you sitting next to me here. And I look forward to having Monica sit next to me here. But I will miss, you know, the times that I'm able to lean over and you'd help me during these meetings. It's just a comforting feeling when I first started this to know that you were there and were going to save me from something I could do. And I appreciate that. And I want to go back again to my analogy of George Bailey. And I really think for those of you who, this time of year, It's a Wonderful Life is a movie that's on that everybody watches, and George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, and it was about how he made such a difference, and he thought he shouldn't have been on this world, and then they were able to show what would have happened if he would have not been in this world, and what a difference he did make. And I really, again, you're the George Bailey of Stanislaus County. If you hadn't have been here, who knows where we'd be right now, and the difference you've made in people's lives in this room, and across this county is something that'll last forever. So thank you for all you've done. I appreciate all you've helped me and all you've done for this county, and I'm going to miss you. Thanks.
Jim DeMartini?
Hey, Rick, well, I'm sure I'm going to miss you. You know, you came in just before I got here, and it was a time when the county had a lot of turbulence, and the city-county relationships were probably at the lowest they'd ever been. And you had strong leadership. You pulled everybody together, and I would say the city-county relationship is probably the best it's ever been. So you've been a steady hand, and you've mentored me also. You know, I came up with a political background, but come from agriculture, so I certainly appreciated the time that I spent with you. You know, I went into your office many times, and you know, you mentored me. So I wish you the best in your retirement. I think you've done a fine job for the county. I always say that you were the right guy at the right time. We're certainly going to miss you, and you know, I wish you the best in your retirement.
Okay. Congratulations, you made it. I think the Modesto Bee had said something about going out on his own terms, and that's very unusual in these times, but I think you say he's the right man at the right time. You've touched many lives. You've carried a tremendous burden. I said that last night. Because we got together last night, a lot of these comments are repeated for some of you. But, you know, we went through some difficult times. You all know that. We laid off hundreds of people. Rick has personally signed. No one would want this job. It's tough. It wears on you. He's lucky. I got to point out, because I know he's going to point out, but his lovely wife, Kathy, is sitting there in the front row. I'm sure a tremendous support mechanism for you personally. And as far as leadership, Monica, Patty, Stan, and the rest of you in the CEO's office, you've served under the best. Also, the department heads, very lucky. You know, people like him come along a couple times in a lifetime. So, and I've been fortunate enough, I've heard the word mentor 4 times, and I'm sure I'll hear it a 5th time here in a second. But you've been a tremendous mentor, teacher. It is the most difficult thing to teach leadership to people, because you have to bring it out from inside somebody. It's not something, you know, that you just learn on your own. So we've been so fortunate to have you. Congratulations. Lake Whiskey Town is calling your name. Reading is calling your name. Your grandkids are calling your name. And your kids are calling your name. And I'm so glad that you get to leave on your own terms. And congratulations.
Well, Rick, we want to thank you for your leadership and the tough times. You've not only had the ability to address the challenges as we're confronted with them, but you also have the ability to look into the future and present us with a guide whereby we can go on. So with that, I could go into greater detail, but I think probably the best way to express it is to say thank you and job well done. Thank you. At this time, would Christina come forward?
Hi, Rick. Thank you so much. It's really been a privilege to serve under your leadership as the clerk of the board. As any good clerk, I got a few statistics. You served 279 board meetings, and over 6,748 resolutions were passed under your term of office. And we want to thank you for that. And I have a little gift to give you from the clerks. And we hope that every time you use it, you'll think about it. Thank you.
At this time, Patty Hill Thomas has some comments.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, Mr. Doering and Mr. Robinson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to address you this evening. I'd like to also acknowledge the wonderful Mrs. Kathy Robinson behind us and tell you that I'll do my very best to be brief and not cry. It is an honor to be here tonight on behalf of the Chief Executive Office, Monica, Stan, Jody, Nancy, Keith, and our entire team. Rick, we are forever grateful for you. You're the best leader I've ever known, the best boss I've ever had, and you're an inspiration, and you leave a great legacy to this community. You know, I think about words, and we often use the words of others, and I was trying to think of whose words would be most appropriate, and I hope that, I know Rick will relate to this, I hope the others will be so forgiving, because in the words of the great philosopher Tina Turner, you are simply the best. So I'm here tonight on behalf of someone you've mentored. As everyone knows, I think in the community, you are our poet, and you've written beautiful poetry when people have left, when we've celebrated great events. I was certain at the dedication night of the Gallo Center, you wrote a beautiful poem just for me. And despite the fact that there were about 3,000 people there, Supervisor O'Brien was chairman, it was a grand night in the community. I think you were just talking to me, and I know how important your poetry has been in so many times to inspire and encourage and enthuse us to go forward. And so we heard a little bit about mentoring tonight, even from the board members. And I'm pleased to announce that as our great poet leaves, a new great poet remains. And he is indeed Supervisor Vito Chiesa. And he has asked me to read aloud tonight a poem that he prepared to really express so well, Supervisor Kiss, with the sentiments of everyone. So if I may, I will read you a poem written by Vito Chiesa called The Skipper. Rick brought his talents from somewhere up north, quite some distance away. We were lucky to grab him and his beautiful bride for a very short 7-year stay. He arrived in the valley when we were still flush, housing the primary source. Soon Freddie and Fanny screwed it all up and certainly changed his course. The county has changed and become quite a challenge. We've seen most difficult times. He rose to the occasion, created a plan, and worked to keep it in line. In a frenzy of turmoil and heat in the kitchen, and overabundance of flack, his patience and poise has paid off in spades. The county remains in the black. He's assembled a team, and they've mastered his way, a force that's second to none. He expects many hours, commitment, and teamwork, but then he's ready for fun. It isn't a secret, and I'm sure you'll all agree. I feel that we've been blessed. Rick's mark has been left on the county and me. We are certainly losing the best. We will say our goodbyes and give many well wishes, but we'll miss you being around. Keep us posted on your whereabouts and the fishing up on Lake Whiskey Town. Rick, we wish you and Kathy a lifetime of happiness, and because of you, so much has been done to make this a better place to work and live. So on behalf of all of us, thank you very much. And thank you, Supervisor Chiesa, for the great poem.
It is now time for public comment, and we have two people who've indicated they wish to speak, and one is Linda Adams. And those who come forward, please state your name and remember that there's a 5-minute limit.
Good evening. My name is Linda Adams. This is my brother, Robert Adams. As a citizen born, raised, and educated in the Central Valley, California, today was the first time I've ever felt violated by a government agency. Approximately at 9 a.m., 2 doorbell rings, followed by a series of pounding on the door. Jolting, startling my 75-year-old mother, my brother, who is a quadriplegic, for 30 years, my sister and myself, followed by a series of threats, intimidation, and accusations of fraud. As they clearly know and see, it's impossible. My mother yelling for her oxygen, frazzled, scared, asking me what is going on repeatedly. And my brother in the middle of his bowel movement. Your fraud unit insisting they come in, check the bedrooms, or else. And answering none of my questions, giving their names, or showing identification, disregarding and disrespecting. It was traumatic. My mother has been sick since this morning. Is this what IHSS stands for? I thought it was a service provided for the elderly, incapable, and sick people who really need assistance and help. We've been dealing with this for 2 years. We understand the budget cuts and have educated ourselves with all the legalities going on with this program. My question concern is, where are the boundaries? Is this what we have to endure apart from struggling with everyday life in general? Feeling violated, being accused, disrespected, and most of all, disappointed as a citizen. We want this fixed. We have rights as any American working a job that's so exhausting, physically and emotionally. No amount of money can compensate for the sacrifices we make as home care providers, especially when it comes to your own family, mother, father, brother. My biggest fear has always been having a complete stranger doing what I do. I will never measure or compare to having a loved one caring for a family member. My compensation is not through IHSS. My compensation runs deeper than the dollar. It's when my parents praise me, thank me for taking such good care of them, and telling me how appreciative and grateful they are. It's me doing it for them and not a random stranger. This needs to stop. Thank you.
Robert Adams, do you wish to speak?
Yeah, my name is Robert Adams. I'm a recipient of in-home support services. I've been on this program for over 30 years. Today was a wake-up call for me as a citizen. Three people, while I was in bed, doing my daily activity, knocking on the door, pounding on my door, trying to get in and invade my privacy. As a citizen, I don't feel that is right. I felt violated by these officials. All my life, I've always wondered, why isn't life fair? Why do I deserve to go through this? I'm already struggling as a quad. I don't need this in my life right now. It's already hard, difficult for me to do what I have to do just to live my day to day. On top of this, you know, having this incident, it kind of woke me up, and I'm extremely concerned. I've never given speeches in my life, but I felt like this was the right moment for me to come and speak and let you people know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to make a comment at this time, other than what's on the agenda this evening? If not, we have a request before we go on to consent calendar. Carmen Sabatino is asked to make a statement on B6.
Good evening. I really don't have a statement to make. What I was requesting and hoping to get is a short report from staff on this agenda item. Thank you.
Each year, the county reviews legislative priorities both for state and federal legislative activities. The review process includes taking input from county departments, members of the Board of Supervisors, and county staff to identify issues that we believe are reasonable and relevant to be considered in a legislative platform. In considering the various matters that are presented, one of the questions and analyses is the relevance of a particular course of action to the local agency, and whether it's appropriate to maintain or to include in a legislative platform a particular recommendation, which could be the basis for the development of legislation that speaks to the issue that has been raised by a member of the Board of Supervisors or a department head. This essentially is the basis under which the county moves forward and develops legislative protocols, legislative priorities, and the basis under which we move forward to identify legislators that might have common or similar interests that we can work together to bring more fully complete the county's legislative priorities. It is a process, not a destination. As you know, we do this each year. We evaluate each year the successes of the previous year. We identify the opportunities based on political factors and other factors, and we also try to find those issues that make the types of policy statements that the Board of Supervisors and the County of Stanislaus believe appropriate given the facts and circumstances in place in the community and in the organization. This is the basis for the development of the platform and the sources from a variety of sources of input. The outcome is what is being presented to you today.
Thank you. Are there any additional public comments at this time?
I understand, and thank you for the process. The issue, however, is that the grand juries are impaneled in each California county through provisions in the California Constitution. Existing law establishes the superior court system as having supervisorial authority over the county grand jury, while the financial responsibility and the responsibility to defend actions brought against grand juries is delegated to the local county. What you were about to approve, apparently, the action you were going to take was to support legislative or other action that would provide for full state funding of the grand jury, including the legal defense of the grand jury. So I just wanted you to be aware that this was on consent, and you are about ready to vote for this approval.
And I appreciate Mr. Sabatino's speaking to item number 25. What he read is verbatim what is in the legislative platform for 2012, and it is the CEO's recommendation, the staff recommendation, that you do approve the legislative platform, including item 25. County staff and leadership believes that it is appropriate for the agency that controls the conduct of the grand jury to also, and who determines the level of defense that will occur in a particular issue, to also have the financial responsibility for the consequences of those actions, and that the county, who has no input relative to the development of the final grand jury report, nor determination relative to the degree of defense that the grand jury may choose, that the judges may choose, relative to the grand jury report. And the staff recommendation is that that responsibility for funding most appropriately lies with the agency that has control over the actions and activities of the grand jury. That would be the courts. Courts are funded through the state. And the county's staff recommendation stands.
Okay. Okay, we'll now go to consent calendar. Anyone wishing to make a motion at this time?
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. We will now go to scheduled matters at 6:45, and we will start with county council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this matter involves amendment of the agricultural element of the general plan. And being that four out of our five board members own agricultural land, and this could affect or impact their financial finances, there could be a potential conflict of interest. We have not analyzed to determine if indeed there would be a conflict of interest, but out of an abundance of caution, we are recommending that that the board members with these potential conflicts step down, which leaves us with one board member able to decide this matter, and as such, we would invoke the rule of necessity where the four conflicted board members would draw straws to determine which two should remain on the board to decide this matter. If the board is agreeable with that solution, I would recommend that we draw straws and that the short straws be omitted from further participation, and the long straws would be able to decide on this matter.
Start on the process.
You want to go
left? Yeah.
I'm going to go left.
Who wins?
Jim and Pete over here.
Let the record reflect that Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor withdrew, both drew the short straws and are abstaining from further proceeding or participation on this matter.
With that, we will start on the procedure.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman, some of the members of the board, Mr. Doering, and for the last time, Mr. Robinson. Don't know what you're going to do without general plans in your life. This evening, we're here for our last meeting of the year related to our general plan modifications. We're allowed to have four meetings every year where we can modify our general plan, and this is the last one of the evening, or the year. What we're here, as you heard, was to look at our agricultural element and to talk about our agricultural buffer and setback guidelines, which is a portion of that agricultural element. And with me is Angela Freitas, our deputy director, and she is going to go over the details of this project with you.
Good evening, Chairman Monteith and members of the board. The buffer and setback guidelines are Appendix A of the agricultural element, and they were adopted as part of the 2007 Ag Element Update. The guidelines apply to all new and expanding non-agricultural uses in or adjoining the A2 General Agricultural Zoning District, and set forth the requirements for a 150-foot wide buffer setback area that's expanded to 300 feet when you have a people-intensive outdoor use, the requirement for 6-foot solid fence and vegetative screening. The vegetative screening itself had the purpose of using plant spacing, height, and porosity to reduce pesticide drift exposure by providing a type of filter. It consists of 2 staggered rows of trees and shrubs characterized by evergreen foliage and consists of drought-tolerant plants at least 6 feet in height at the time of installation. The buffer standards allow for alternatives to all of the standards within them, including the setbacks, provided that the alternatives are supported by the county's Agricultural Advisory Board prior to consideration by the Planning Commission. The alternative must be found to provide equal or greater protection to surrounding agricultural uses. To date, 46 of the 48 proposals that have been presented for alternatives to the Agricultural Advisory Board have been supported. All of those alternatives have included elimination or reduction of the vegetative screening requirement, and all supported proposals have been approved by the Planning Commission. Of the 46 proposals, all but 4 were for use permits in the A2 zoning district. Those use permits were for Tier 1 and Tier 2 uses, which include almond haulers, commodity warehouse storage facilities, ag service establishment. There have been a few churches. There was a new cemetery. There was an expansion of the cemetery. And then there were the others, which were general plan amendments and rezones, which included expansion of non-agricultural uses and the establishment of a veterinary clinic. There were also 2 general alternatives that staff took to the Agricultural Advisory Board to allow for a variety of alternative design standards applicable to multiple projects. This included allowing the use of non-solid fencing, requiring fencing to be installed around the perimeter of the use and not the property, and allowing riparian areas to serve as setback and vegetative screen. The general plan amendment before you this evening proposes to eliminate the need for the vegetative screen, the solid fencing, and support from the county's Agricultural Advisory Board for use of alternative standards. It would exempt low people intensive Tier 1 and Tier 2 uses from the requirements and would allow adjacent uses to be considered as part of the buffer. It would also require fencing only when there is a potential for increased trespassing. As far as the alternatives would go under the proposed amendment, proposals for an alternative would still be referred to the county's Agricultural Commission as part of standard project referral. The Planning Commission would need to consider the commissioner's referral response and would still need to make the finding that the proposed alternative would provide equal or greater protection. We did take this proposed amendment to the Agricultural Advisory Board on October 3rd of this year, and in general, the Advisory Board supported the revisions. They did express some concerns and comments. They acknowledged that the vegetative screening is helpful, but the benefit is limited until the screening is mature. And there was some concern that as proposed, the Planning Commission would not be required to impose conditions recommended by the Agricultural Commission, only to consider them. There was also some expression of just some ongoing concern of individual farmers at risk from development and the people-intensive outdoor uses will continue to have a negative impact on surrounding ag. The proposal was also presented to the General Plan Update Committee also in October. The committee supported the revisions provided that there was flexibility to require solid fencing and vegetative screening on a project-by-project basis, and absolutely there is still the ability to require such as either through necessity to make the required findings for approval of project or from an environmental review to mitigate a potential impact. Those can be applied project by project. There was only one public comment that was really received as part of this project, and that came in the form of a letter from the City of Turlock, and there seemed to be some confusion with regards to the applicability of the guidelines and the alternative standards. The guidelines only apply to county discretionary projects and not to city projects or annexations. The general plan does encourage LAFCO to consider county guidelines when cities and districts expand boundaries. However, the guidelines are county-specific. Decision to allow an alternative buffer lies with the Planning Commission and not the Ag Commissioner as proposed. The Planning Commission considered the proposed amendments and on a 7-0 vote is recommended that the Board approve the amendment as proposed. During the hearing, the Planning Commission did make some comments and expressed some concerns regarding the subjective nature of low people intensive uses and the need to also consider the nature of the uses. And as with any finding that's required for a discretionary permit, there is a level of subjectiveness that goes with low people intensive uses, but it's rather difficult to find, you know, one size that fits all for discretionary type uses. Ultimately, the determination will lie with the decision-making body, which will be the Planning Commission or the Board for some projects to come forth to the Board. If there are any questions, staff's available.
Any Board members have additional questions or comments? If not, I will then open it to the public. Anyone wishing to speak on this subject?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Board, Mr. Doring and Mr. Robinson. Tom Orvis, Vice Chair, Stanislaus County Ag Advisory Board. We do support, again, I think staff has outlined some of the concerns we had, but myself, I'm one of the lucky ones. I do have practice, shall we say, as a planning commissioner in Oakdale, and the Ag Advisory Board is not meant to be a planning commission. And that was one of the things that was happening. And I think it's better left to the people that are doing this all the time. And the thing about that is nothing in the process is being deleted. Agricultural community and Ag Advisory Board still has the opportunity to comment, and I think that's a very important thing. So with that, we do support the amendments as proposed by staff. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak at this time? If not, we'll bring it back to the Board. Any comments or motion? What does the Board wish?
Okay. And this is part of the Ag element. I want to compliment Tom and the Ag Advisory Committee. Supervisor DeMartini has done yeoman's work prior to me getting on the Board, really trying to work through these issues. I will always say that the staff always tries to do the best job possible based on the comments, and it's this is just an imperfection of the document, and it's a work in progress. That's how I look at it, the buffer setbacks. It just needs further modification, and I think this tweaking, it might not even be the end of it, but I like what the work that's been done on this, and I will support it.
Yeah, I had originally worked on the ag element, and it was drafted in this particular instance of setbacks and buffers was really meant to buffer agriculture from subdivisions. That is what we talked about. If a subdivision came right up to an existing farm, that there needed to be a buffer and a setback that would be put out on the developer and not have agriculture responsible for it. Unfortunately, we found in implementing this the unintended consequences of it. And the Ag Advisory Board became a de facto planning commission. You know, they have with all these applications before it, which is really not their job. This is a fairly minor amendment to the Ag element, and it needs to be changed. I mean, I'm fine with it because I'm very familiar with what the issue is. Yeah, I can remember in one instance that came before the Ag Advisory Board, an almond hauler was going in and was surrounded by several hundred acres of almonds, and yet because of the land use change technically, it was required to buffer itself from agriculture, which didn't make any sense. I'm fine with this. I think that this is just cleanup language to the Ag element, and the Ag element is actually supposed to be revised every 5 years anyway, and this is the first piece of it. And there's a few other pieces that are yet coming, but this is what's needed, and the Planning Commission can handle this just fine, and the Ag Commissioner has a problem with something, he can tell the Planning Commission, and then LASCO can oversee this too, so it's there's no need for the Ag Advisory Board to handle this anymore.
I would like to thank the Ag Advisory Committee in recognizing something that needed to be addressed, and I think it makes it smoother, and we appreciate all the cooperation. With that, does anyone have a motion?
I have a motion to approve staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed.
Thank you.
Call in the remaining supervisors. Now we'll now go to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Correction Standards Authority regarding the notice
a proposed action for adoption of emergency regulations for the local jail construction funding program, with the public comment period closing on January 23rd, 2011.
Referred to the Chief Executive Office and Sheriff.
This board has received a letter from the California Emergency Management Agency regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration's declaration of Alameda as a disaster area and Stanislaus County as a contiguous county due to the damages caused by the Sequoia apartment complex fire that occurred on November 18, 2011.
Referred to Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and referred to Chief Executive Officer, Risk Management Division. Now, at this time, does any member of the board have a report? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, again, I want to congratulate Rick Robinson on his retirement and wish him the very best. One more piece of business to address tonight. As our current CEO retires, our new one comes in, and congratulations to Monica Nino. I do have one thing that I would like to ask that you look into as you become our new CEO, and that is that of code enforcement. I'd like you to evaluate it and make sure that we have proper response times and we're closing cases in an adequate amount of time. I know every single department we have budget constraints and have had their budget reduced greatly, but we can't hide behind that. We still have to do the best job we can with the resources we have and close those cases in a timely manner. So I'd appreciate it if you'd look into that and get back to me with what your findings are. Thank you.
Any other reports?
Yes. One thing I forgot to say earlier to CEO Robinson, since he won't be CEO anymore after Friday, I was trying to think in my mind how I'm going to refer to him, because Richard just doesn't work, or Rick doesn't really work for me. So because he's been such a good teacher, I think that we will forever know him as Professor Robinson from here on out. And it goes along with the Gilligan's Island theme. But thank you again for your service.
We have legislative physical and management report. Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, thank you. I do have, on the legislative side, we distributed to you what really is a quick and dirty analysis of the impact of the state trigger cuts on Stanislaus County. You got that this afternoon. The disclaimer to that is that it's the best work we could do in less than a week. However, you'll see some refinements to it over the next couple of weeks. There are many, many unanswered questions. Some of them will require judicial review and determination, and some ultimately will be the subjects of some fairly significant political debate. However, what we did want to do was provide to you an, as early as possible, an analysis of what we felt the possible implications could be. I do want to thank the department heads who responded so timely to prepare this information and get it to Mr. Jones, David Jones, our Director of Legislation, and also want to thank David for the work that he did in putting this together, and for the work that he did in putting together the legislative platform that you approved earlier today. As a final piece of business, if I may, I want to take this moment, this final opportunity, to express my appreciation to you, this sitting Board of Supervisors, for your leadership of this organization during such a difficult time. I want to recognize and acknowledge Supervisor Simon, Supervisor Tom Mayfield, Supervisor Jeff Grover, Supervisor Pat Paul, and Supervisor Paul Caruso, all of whom were involved in my selection years ago, and express my appreciation to them for the confidence they showed at that time. And again, to you for your vision and leadership in allowing us as organizational leaders to provide to you options and alternatives from which you could select a course of action. I want to congratulate you on your leadership and in the leadership that you've shown. An organization really isn't about his chief executive officer. It's about the staff that do so much, that share the vision, or in fact, in our organization, that have the vision, that make everything possible. And I want to recognize Monica Nino, Stan Bison, Patty Hill Thomas, Jody Hayes, Nancy Bronstein, all of senior managers that are in the audience today, Sandy Regalo, who's my executive assistant for 5 years and helped guide us through some very challenging scheduling. I really appreciate that. You were in the envious position of having three extraordinary assistants, and Patricia Hill Thomas chose not to apply, and so you had two extraordinary assistants to choose from, and you truly could not have gone wrong. And I congratulate you on your selection. But you had the best of all worlds in being able to pick from the people that you picked from. I want to share with you, if I may, I have no illusion anymore that I can write poetry as well as Vito, who is now the new king of poetry, because that was awesome, Vito, and I appreciate it. But I couldn't step down from this evening without a final thought, if I may share it. For the day in December, this much we all knew, for the day I'll remember, this also is true. We were all in the chambers, just the same as before. Yet tonight it was different, where there would be no more. Kathy is sitting in the audience this night. We're starting the next part of a very full life, with children and grandkids, and a chance now to see what the quiet life feels like, such a change it will be. The CEO staff gathered around for the night's final curtain, smiling faces abound, yet a few were uncertain. Each up in their chairs sat the leaders that night. DeMartini was ready and poised for the fight. While Withrow, he pondered and considered the choices. The others, they waited and silenced their voices. Chiesa surprised us when a poem he shared. He'd hidden this talent, thinking no one else cared. Bill O'Brien, so steady to the numbers he goes, till he understands all, and his knowledge it shows. With gavel in hand, he presided over all, sat Chairman Monteith, gavel ready to fall. Yet that wasn't all. Yet, sis, we all know there have been many others who've helped lead the show. Ray Simon was steady. Jeff Grover led change. We remember Tom Mayfield with reverence, his name. But Paul helped the north side, while Paul Caruso the west. We remember them fondly and wish them the best. And back in the county, we hear some are cheering, which is certainly okay, for the end, it is nearing. And to Monica, we wish all the best. Now to you, you'll excel, we all know, in all that you do. And what would we do without lawyers now to keep us from trouble? And Jack sure knows how. Patricia Hill Thomas leads with heart and compassion. She will always respond with spirit and passion. While Stan Rison, so steady, he is thoughtful to act and will share all he knows with poise and with tact. Nancy Bronstein, so gentle, she leads with such grace. HR is her calling, and the unions she'll face. And Jody and Risk will find just the way to make a real difference. For the long term, he'll stay. Keith Boggs, who's our artist and a brilliant man, plays beautiful music. He'll do all that he can. David, my friend, we have shared special times, a photographer and more, a true friend of mine. And Sandy, you've grown so much, this is true. You've made such a difference for me and for you. And this evening it closes, the curtain does fall. I want to say thank you to one and to all. 7 years now have passed and much yet to do, kitchens and bathrooms, and remodeling, too. And grandkids are peeking for even one glance to see Grandpa sitting in Santa Claus pants. I'll watch them at Christmases packages they tear and laugh at their parents with nary a care. Now here comes the curtain. It's been a great ride. It's finally time that I step aside. With friendships aplenty and still more in store, I wish each of you happiness, love, and so very much more. Please know in my heart a special place now. These years spent with you are precious somehow. And as we depart, as we all say farewell, one special wish I do wish to tell. Thank you, my friends, with all of my might. Merry Christmas. God bless. And to all a good night. Good night.
And with that, well done, and this meeting is adjourned.